Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Tonight, just talk to my family here about revival, about the fire of God, about the move of God. I believe that many times we hear some message the first time, the second time, the third time. We may not get it, but the more we hear, the more we will understand and get deeper into our spirit. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, tonight we want to hear the word from heaven. We want to understand about the glory of God. We want to understand why the local churches need to be in revival all the time. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us through your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the illumination, the revelation to understand the things from the Bible, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, speak us by your truth, Lord. Amen and amen. Tonight, I would like to talk about why the church needs to stay in revival. Why the church needs to always welcome the fire of God or the touch of the Holy Spirit all the days of our life. Not just only a special meeting once a year in the camp, but it should be a lifestyle of the church that the church always welcome the glory and the move of God into the church. I have a conversation with God about this issue many times, and I always ask God, God, should I change direction of the church into the seeker-sensitive service? You understand the word seeker-sensitive service. The pastor have two choices: to run the church, to be sensitive to non-believers and seeker and people who don't want anything much about God and try to keep them in the church. Another choice is to run the church and to lead the service in the full stream of whatever God wants to do without the fear of man. And the Lord kept telling me, son, I want you to go full stream without being seeker-sensitive. Actually, it's against my flesh, because every pastor wants to be famous. Every pastor wants people to really put the thumb up and say, wow, he has a big church. Wow, his ministry is big. But to run the church that with the full stream of the Holy Spirit, we may offend a lot of people and they may not come back to the church. But I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. And I make a choice to go this direction, is to go with the Holy Spirit 100%, is to go with the fire of God 100%, because of a few reasons. The first reason is that because the Lord command me that this is the way you have to do. You cannot dilute my Holy Spirit. You cannot dilute my message. You cannot let my church go into tradition and go into seeker-sensitive type of congregation. The second reason he told me that, because you are the pastor, and the first priority you have to do is to protect my sheep. 2 days ago, I saw a young woman, 29 years old, with brain tumor. And I see this all the time. I see, lately, for some reason, I see more young people have cancer and brain tumor. In the past, we used to see cancer and brain tumor at 50, 60 years old. But lately, I've seen 30 years old, 35 years old, 29 years old with brain tumor. And you know, brain tumor, many of them, most of them are not curable. People will die with brain tumor. And the Lord told me this. You have choices to make. You try to please the crowd and make your member suffer, because the demon gonna be all over the place. Husband and wife gonna go into divorce. They're gonna fight. Adultery gonna happen in the church. Demon will go everywhere, and people will get sick and suffer and get operation and die early. But if you love my sheep, you need to keep the fire of God and keep cleansing my people every Sunday, or as much as we can, to get kick out all these curses and bondage and sickness and demon and all this wrong thing in the church. And God said that It's your responsibility to protect my sheep. So your choice is to continue the move of God, no matter what other people think. In fact, I make that decision, I jeopardize my own reputation, and it means that I may not become famous because the church will have only people who want God 100%. But we are not pleasing seekers or people who just come to test the ground and don't have, want to go on with God. I say this from my heart. And number three, God spoke to me. Son, what kind of Christian you want to make? I want to produce spirit-filled Christian. I want to produce in this church Christians who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, and not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to produce Christians who are ashamed of the Holy Spirit and become seeker-sensitive. And that is my choice. I hope you like the choice. But that's the choice I make. As long as I live, this church is going to be that way. Because that's what God commanded me to do. And no matter how big price I have to pay to keep this on in this church, I will pay it. I will keep my promise that I give to God, that this is the way we're going to go, and this is the way we're going to be. And whatever I do here in this church to keep revival or keep the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in fact, is according to the Word of God. Before I read the New Testament scripture, I want to read one of the Old Testament scripture, if I can find it. Okay, here. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 19 to 21, in the Old Testament, not every believer has the Holy Spirit. They did not have the ongoing experience of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit at that time was contained or was in only the inner room or the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle or of the temple. And the Holy Spirit or the tangible presence of God or the thick presence of God or the wealthy presence of God was with the Ark of the Covenant. That's why when they want to fight the battle, they took the Ark of the Covenant out in front of them and they won the battle. Because the presence of God was there and then they have victory. So the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God was so important to the well-being and to the future of the children of Israel. Look at what happened in the time of Eli the priest. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, 19 to 21, now his daughter-in-law, Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was captured, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." You can see that very bad time happened to the children of Israel when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And that is the big defeat of the children of Israel at that time. And this brought really sadness and really difficult times to the heart of all the children of Israel. Even this lady died and gave the name of her son Ichabod, because the glory has departed from the house of God. One of the scary things in my heart as a pastor of this church is that one day, after I died or after I passed away or something, or God took me somewhere, this church ended up to be a traditional church and the glory of God leave. And the church end up to be just a social club. And the presence of God not here any longer. I want the presence of God. I want the church to have the presence of God. Because that is one of the most important things to have the church. Is to have His presence. If we don't have the presence of God, if we don't have the glory of God in the church. The word glory means weighty. Mean thick presence of God. Kabod means the thick presence of God. In the Jewish thinking, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. But God can show up in a meeting or in a place in a special way that people can see, can feel, and can sense His presence. And that thick presence of God we call Kabod or the glory. God wants His church in the end time to have the thicker presence of God, the glory of God. And that is my job. And that's my responsibility and your responsibility to keep the glory of God in the church. And to be hungry for the glory of God. And to welcome the glory of God. I remember when I started to get into a revival or the fire of God. The first few years in 1997 and 1998, I went to a meeting. And I disappeared from that meeting for 1 year. Went back again. I sensed it that it's so hard to keep the glory of God inside me. When you were in a meeting, the presence of God was strong. And then after a few months, after you did not get touched by God anymore, you did not welcome the presence of God anymore, you began to run dry. The glory of God started to go down. And eventually you feel like, what's going on with me? I become more fleshly, more carnal, instead of living in the Spirit of God all the time. So that's why the Bible says, stir up the gift or the fire of God on the inside of you. We need to stir up all the time. We need to keep inviting and welcoming the glory of God into the church. The more, the better. And the more we welcome, as years go by, it's going to be thicker and thicker and stronger. I noticed that the meeting that I have gone through in the past couple of years, the presence of God gets stronger every time. Because I soak in the presence of God every Sunday. I soak in the presence of God every day. Even driving in the car, the presence of God came upon me. And that is we call practicing the presence of God. Living in the glory of God. In the secret place of the Most High. Living in that high place, the glory of God, all the days of your life that the enemy cannot even touch you and see you because you're living in the presence of God. I have a sermon called Living in the Glory. I haven't preached, I prepared this about 5 years ago. I like to preach that sermon one day. Living in the glory of God. Look at the Bible say in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. This is the prophecy in the Bible. And I want to be a part of fulfilling this prophecy. The Bible says, the glory of this house, this latter temple. Let me repeat one more time. The glory of this latter temple. Everyone say latter. Shall be greater than the former. Say the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace. Say the Lord of hosts. Yes, definitely. This is the word that God was speaking to the children of Israel. That they will try to rebuild the temple of God. But it's a prophetic word for the church. The temple today is the church. The presence of God is in the church. And the Bible said that the glory, the thick presence of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the church of the end time. How many people believe we are in the end time? Are we later than the early church, 2,000 years ago, the first church in Jerusalem? Are we the latter church, latter temple? If you read the book of Acts, you can see that the glory of God in the early church was so strong, was so powerful. Even the shadow of Peter fell on the sick and they got healed. How strong the glory of God in that generation. People walk into the church and lie to the Holy Spirit. That person dropped dead. Wow, that would be fun, huh? to see people who lie and sin against God get punished in front of public. And the fear of God will seize the church. Everyone will stop sinning in the church. Because God comes and then show himself. And he judge those who don't want to repent of their sin. The Bible says that the glory of God in the end time church going to be thicker, going to be stronger than the early church. How many people believe that God never lies? How many people believe that this scripture is for us? That the end time church, we are in the end time. And we can expect that the glory of this generation church shall be greater than the former or the early church. And that's why we need to set the goal to build a church that is so full of the presence of God and the glory of God. Because we are walking in the same line of the prophecy of the Bible. We may not be popular right now in Seattle, the style our church is, because we welcome the glory of God of all the time. But maybe in 10 years or 20 years, when the real end time come, a lot of people are going to run to this place. Because this is what the church should be, that filled with the presence of God. Amen. Choosing between being seeker sensitive and let my members, our members here, get sick, get demonized, get problem, and have family break down, divorce, I rather choose the presence of God, the glory of God. The Bible prophesies about the end time church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. This is the prophecy in the Bible. That he might present her in the church, to himself a glorious church. Everyone say, glory. This is the adjective. The adjective of glory is glorious. He wants to build glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be holy and without blemish. When the glory of God comes, he will wash or purge sin out of the church. He will really cleanse you. You're going to live a life eventually of holiness. That's why I say on Sunday that the person that gets mad at me the most when I move in the Holy Ghost is demon. When I will start to lay hand, demon in certain people going to say, leave this room right now because I want you to live in sin and live in bondage. I don't want you to be set free from sin. But God said the end time church going to be the church that is full of glory, and he's going to wash out all the sin and bondage and chain in people's life, and people going to be set free. How many people in this room have been touched by the fire and noticed that you have been cleansed and you become less and less sinful? Your attitude has changed, your motive has been changed by the fire of God. Amen. We seem to be a minority right now, but we are not going to be minority forever. Because the end time revival is coming. And we're going to see more and more people come in to seek the real things of God. The Bible prophesies about the end time a lot, about glory. About the end time church going to be the glorious church. The end time church going to have the greater glory than the early church. The Bible also prophesies in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That's why I'm preaching about the glory today. Because the Bible says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge. In other words, I believe that the preacher in the end time, the preach the word of God, need to know about the glory, need to experience the glory, need to know how to move in the glory, need to know how to pass on the glory of God to the congregation. Because the Bible says the earth will be filled with the knowledge that you experience. You know, not only theory, not only theology, but you know, you experience the glory of God. Shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Is that a prophecy? That's why I'm convinced that what God tells me to do is biblical. We may be a forerunner on the Northwest here, I'm a forerunner in Thailand about bringing the glory of God. But right now, our CD, our teaching go all over the country. Go so fast that no one can stop it anymore. And the knowledge of the glory of God is going to go all over many countries in the world. I want to fulfill this prophecy. And as a member of this church, you need to know about this message. You need to understand about the glory of God. You need to experience the glory of God. You need to live in the glory of God. And you need to increase the glory of God in your life. And you need to be hungry for the word, the glory of God. And you shall never compromise the glory of God. Amen. Like Moses and Joshua. The children of Israel ran away from the glory at the bottom of the mountain. But Joshua and Moses ran to the glory because they knew that. Moses said like this in one of his sentences in the book of Exodus. He said one time God was mad at the children of Israel. And Moses turned to God and said, God, we cannot go without your glory or your presence in front of us. Lead us. Moses, the man who performed so many miracles at that time, said that we cannot go to the promised land without your glory in front of us, leading us. In fact, God allowed them to go in anyway. But even though Moses knew that they could go in, they could reach to the promised land without the glory, but Moses still said, I need the glory. I need you to lead me. I cannot go without your glory. I love the glory of God. I love the presence of God. Do you know that the most enjoyable time in my life is Sunday service? The most enjoyable time in my life is to be in the presence of God on Sunday, especially at the end of the service when the God is moving. Oh, last Sunday, so wonderful, the presence of God. Oh, I don't want to stop the meeting. It's so wonderful to come into the throne room of God and the presence of God was there and He changed you, He cleansed you. And that's why we rarely see people sick in our church, because every Sunday we allow the presence of God to come and touch people. Amen. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. This is a prophecy for the end time church. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. My dear brother and sister, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit did not only happen in the upper room. God still pouring out His spirit today. And the Bible never say that you should receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit one time in your life and then that's it and you graduate. No. If you can find any scripture in the Bible, in this Bible, that it say that you can receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit one time and it's done and you graduate, show me. No. God say, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. God saying, go to the next level from glory to glory by the Spirit. God wants us to go deeper. I think that is the message for the camp this year. Dive in, go deeper, and be happy. Because the deeper you are in the glory, the deeper you go into the things of God, into the glory of God, you're going to be happier. You're going to be more victorious. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be more fruitful. You're going to be more productive. You're going to get the job done faster. You see people so saved easily. You're going to see miracle happen in your life. You can lay hand on the sick, they shall recover. You command the wind will stop. The storm will stop because you are living in the glory of God. That in the glory, there is everything that you need. Faith, wisdom, direction, understanding, power, everything. Protection. Amen. Hallelujah. When the glory of God showed up in the early church, what happened at that time? The gospel was preached boldly by the disciple. Many souls were saved. Actually, I want to see that happen in our church more. That we go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ boldly. The Lord told me that from now on, I need to remind the congregation on a regular basis to go out and preach the gospel. Go out and save soul. Do anything to save soul. Because the glory of God is given to us for saving soul. It's not just to feel good, but it's to reach out to the lost soul. Amen. Inviting non-believers in, do everything to preach the gospel to them, help them to get saved. Amen. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for souls? I'm not talking about building an organization. I'm not talking about building a big church. I'm not talking about building my ministry. I'm talking about souls saved. We need to focus on soul, get soul saved, and God will make us grow. Amen. We emphasize on helping the soul to come to heaven with us. In fact, lately I'm teaching a series on eschatology. I just taught about hell on last Wednesday. And when I was preaching about hell, talking about hell, I'm so convicted in my heart that I didn't preach the gospel enough. Hell is a bad place to go. We don't want people to go to hell. So we need to really be filled with the Holy Spirit, with boldness and save soul. Because that is the outcome of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls, everyone say souls, were added to them. We want to see souls added to our numbers here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. How many people believe that God gives you the Holy Spirit to save souls? From now on, let us focus on saving souls. Amen. Reaching out to the non-believers, reaching out, preaching to them, telling them, giving testimony, inviting them to dinner, inviting them to church, whatever you can do. Get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit come into our life. One thing that will happen is that we will be hungry for the Word of God, for the fellowship, and we love to pray. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. God's people who are in revival will love the Word of God, will listen to the Word of God, will really love to fellowship with one another. Go to care groups, fellowship with one another, and they'll love to pray. If you have time on Saturday, I want you to really give time to God. On Saturday, we have prayer meeting here at 10 a.m. I try to come every Saturday. 99% of the time, I'm here, unless I'm go out of town or have emergency surgery. But we love to pray. We love to come and seek God together in prayer. Amen. People who are in revival love to pray and love the Word of God. And Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostle. You can see here that if we welcome the glory of God, what happened is that people in the church will fear God, and they don't want to sin against God. The fear of God will come upon the church, and that's happened to me and my wife. We really don't want to sin against God. We really live in the fear of God. And then signs and wonders will happen. Signs and wonders. You don't want to see more signs and wonders in the church? Welcome the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who brings signs and wonders into the church. Amen. We see more healing. We see demons come out from people. We see signs and wonders, miracle, prophecy. It's interesting. This morning, I woke up and I checked my email. God gave the word of prophecy to a sister in another city and emailed me that this is a prophecy for you. And that prophecy exactly what I need to hear at the right timing. God gave prophecy to people. when the Holy Spirit fill you, when the glory of God come, the gift of the Holy Spirit, then signs and wonder will happen in the church more and more. I want to see that happen in our church. Amen. That everyone, all the members, really love the glory of God. Boast about the glory of God in our church. You know, when you invite people to come to church, you don't say, you know, we just have a good church. No, you say, my church is excellent. The presence of God is strong. People get healed. Demons come out. You know, you just tell them, this is a church that God is really moving. It's worth to drive 1 hour to church every Sunday. Is that right, Vangchi? Is it worth to drive to church? Amen. We need to be proud of where we are. And God will bring more people in. Amen. Look at what Paul says about signs and wonder. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I admit to you one truth. Many times, I feel so inadequate to preach the Word of God here. Because English language is not my mother tongue language. I cannot speak so smoothly like many American pastors. Oh, can play with words, make people laugh, make people feel good in their ears. And I have to admit, sometimes I feel frustrated with my own self that I cannot speak so smoothly like that. But I cannot change because I did not grow up here. Sometimes I have a hard time trying to communicate in English with you because it's not my language. But thank God for that. Because my preaching and my speech are not with persuasive words of human wisdom. But I'd rather have the preaching in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith will not rest on my ability to talk, but in the power of God. Amen. Praise God. Revival Church will love to give. Be generous people. Like what happened to us already, that we raise money in 1 week, we can help Uganda. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 45, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You can see here that the early church Christians were so generous. They don't allow anybody in the church becoming in need or being in need. They help each other. They help churches around them. They are generous people. I can guarantee, if you are really touched by the fire of God, you're going to live the old life. You're going to be generous people. You will love to give. You will love to help people. You'll love to reach out to people because the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the glory of God on the inside of you will move you, will work in your heart. You cannot be stingy anymore. You're going to change. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. One last thing I want to say tonight in Joel chapter 2, verses 25 to 28. Verse 25 say, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you. Locusts are symbolic of demons. Insects in the Bible are symbolic of demons. But what happened? How God restored the years that locusts have eaten. I have the years that locusts have eaten. Between 1988 to 1995, locusts ate my relationship with my wife. We had poor relationship even though we were pastors. We did not have good relationship. We did not get along until 1996, 1997, 1998. I and my wife enter a revival, enter into the glory of God. At the beginning, Pastor Da was shocked, what is going on here with this move of God? Because we were not used to. But after we got touched by God, our relationship, married relationship, got healed. Demons came out of our life. Many demons came out from me and Pastor Da. The relationship was healed. The years that the locusts have eaten has been restored. Now, in the past 10 years, since we have been in revival, our relationship, our married life is much more happier than the first 10 years. We have wonderful relationship right now. We get along, we're happy at home, we rarely fight. We are happy as a husband and wife. Because, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. The outcome of verse 28 is seen in the verse 25. The years that the locusts have eaten has been restored to the church. And that's why I'm going to keep pressing in to the glory of God for the members of the church. I'd like to encourage every one of you to really seek the glory of God or the fire of God. Go deeper. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Go deeper. Get Him. Allow Him to come and cleanse you more. Seeking Him. I listened to a testimony of Pastor Rodney Hubbard Brown, brother himself. He was a pastor in Juneau, Alaska. He came to work with Pastor Rodney for many, many months. He said that his own brother was the one who bring revival to many nations. And he came out to be prayed for. He never got touched by God. He just went down to the floor just to follow everybody. But he never got touched by the fire. But he never stopped going out to be touched. I talked to him personally. This is not a rumor. I was sitting, eating dinner with him. And he said that by the around 100 times, God touched me. Because I never give up on coming out to be touched by God. I need the fire of God. My life needs to be changed. He never gave up going out to be prayed for. And by about 100 times, the 100 times, can you imagine for this man how desperate and how humble he was to be touched by God? Eventually, he got touched. And his life was never the same. He was changed totally. Last Sunday, the Thai service sang a very anointed song. This song was so anointed. The song name, I Lay My Hand on My Heart. Unfortunately, I don't have the English version to sing to you. But it's so anointed. Every time I listen to this song, I even put it in my iPod now. I like to listen, and it's so anointed that every time you sing, you just want to cry because you love God so much. I noticed the worship team was singing this song. I turned to the pastor and said, how come you get this song? Because I know this song. This song was composed by the worship leader. Listen carefully, this story. This song was composed by the pianist of our affiliated church in Bangkok. This man backslid. His name is Arm, A-R-M, Arm. He backslid. He came to our meeting. He got touched by the fire of God. The next week, he composed this song in the Holy Spirit. And then the church need a worship leader. This woman is the one that I mentioned that she came out to the prayer line 7 times that night, one night. The first time, nothing happened. The second time, nothing happened. The third time, nothing happened. By the 7 or 8 time, she got drunk in the Holy Spirit. And she became a worship leader of this church, singing this song. Never lead worship before. God just anointed her to lead worship. And I record that song on my MP3 that day. And I try to encourage our worship team here to use it. They never use it. They forgot about it. When I listened to the song, how did you get this song? So the story is this. Somebody in Bangkok emailed this song to our member here. And the person who emailed this song was not the member of our church there. Got the song. So a lot of people in Bangkok heard this song that was anointed by God, composed by the man who got touched by the fire of God, sang by the woman who got touched by the fire of God. And a lot of pastors call our pastor in Bangkok, say, we want that song. Could you give to us? They can even post on the website. So all the churches got this song, all the big churches in Bangkok got this song. So one of the members of that church got the song, emailed to our member here, and our member sang the song on last Sunday, and even though I'm the one who record that song, but they never use it. What I try to say is this. One touch of God. Change arm to compose that song. And the song was so anointed. I believe that if we don't give up, God can anoint so many people in our church to do different things that would shake the world like this man. How many people want to impact this generation? You know, you cannot do it by your own strength. You need the fire of God. You need the glory of God to touch you. And God can anoint you to do some special thing for him in this generation. Amen? Amen. Pastor Da, can you exhort people? You have been with me for many years. You have gone to a lot of revival meetings. Now you understand your husband. At the beginning, you may wonder, what is he doing? But now you understand. Can you encourage them about this issue?
I just want to exhort all of us that God will not fail you. If you, your heart, seek him, he said that, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found. So if we continue to walk with God in every situation of our life, and we set our heart that we want to be faithful to him, we want to walk with him no matter what, he will give you the strength to be able to walk with him. I say this not because I'm strong, but because I'm weak, but he strengthened me. And he will also do the same thing to all of us. If we set our heart to love him and to serve him and to walk faithfully with him, and will not let anything pull you away from him, he will give you enough strength to walk with him. He will definitely give you the strength. One time, I want to share with you that we bought a new home, and then we cannot sell our old home yet. At one point, it was so stressful that I lost all the strength. I was on my bed a few days before I went to Bangkok. I was lying there and I told God that, God, I need the strength. I cannot go on without your strength. On that day, I remember vividly that it was Monday. And normally Monday, I would call my sister in Bangkok, and also I would call my sister-in-law, which is Pastor Lau's sister. Like, we are close, so I call him. I call her up and talk to her. She doesn't talk spiritually with me. We will have conversation about how are they doing, how am I doing, things like that. But that one day, she told me that, I want to tell you that God will renew your strength, and you will be like an eagle. And you will walk, and you will not be tired. And you will run, and you will not faint. And she was saying in a funny way, because she said that, because I'm a girl, you know, so I am the girl eagle that has a long eyelash. And it's so amazing, amazing, amazing that from that day on, I was not tired at all. From that day on, I was so energetic, because before, when I got up, I was feeling that I was going to die. I was sick. That kind of feeling went on for a long, long many months. But one day, when it is not on my own strength, I asked the Lord, and he gave me that prophetic word, saying that you will be strengthened like an eagle with long eyelash. And it's so amazing that from day on, I was not tired, and I moved to the new home, and I used my muscle, and I just packed and unpacked, and you know, I went to Bangkok, and I faced jet lag and all that. But it's so amazing that the Lord gave me strength to be able to go on. You know, that is one of the example how the Lord will take care of you. In every situation, He will take care of you. And this is what I remember vividly, so that I want to share, you know, I want to strengthen you. No matter what, what situation you are in, if you follow God and if you don't give up, in each day of your life, you make a decision. Today, I am going to walk with God. Today, I'm not going to fall away from Him. Today, I'm going to serve Him. Today, I will recognize Him and I will know that He is God.
Amen.
And He will, believe me, He will show His mercy and His grace upon your life.
Amen.
You know?
Thank you.
So I just want to exhort you and encourage you that just walk with God. Let God touch you. Let the fire of God touch you. Let He cleanse you daily. In the future, when you look back, you will say that, wow, I am so glad I walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. Want to invite one more person. Jenny, who can you tell us how the fire of God, the glory of God changed your life?
When Jenny came to church, she lost her job, the whole family came into financial difficulty, sick, everything. But now, God restored all the years that the locusts have eaten.
Yes, I totally agree with Pastor Da and Pastor Lau, and we just have to like trust in God and faithfully wait for Him. And like 2001, I was so sick, and I have a stomach problem, and not just one thing, and then my intestine also has a colon thing, and so many problems. And then I lost a job, and that my husband also lost a job. And later on, we have so much financial difficulty. But I asked God, and I said, I will trust in Him, and I will serve Him instead by like depressed or whatever. And then for 1 year, then I went to the church camp, and then God touched me at the church camp. And that was the time. Then I feel like the person holding my arm. And just like Pastor Da said, I will move like an eagle wing. So that time that my life totally changed. And then I got poured out the Spirit to me and give me compassion to love other people and to feel like I think that God is great and He give me the experience for the sickness. Then I can feel like how much I love the people they are sick right now. I can feel the pain for me every time I see the people are sick. I just so, like, I can't believe I have to help them because I've been through that. And then when I see the people, they lost a job, and I can feel like, oh, the time that I lost a job, I can't even have money to buy stuff. And then, like, God give me all those things and, reminding me how I have to, like, the thing that He give it to me is for His purpose. And I really thank God for it. And now God is really good to me. Then I get a great job at GE and also the job. And it's amazingly. And I got the best boss and all the co-workers in there. And I got the good team. And also at the year that I was lost a job and I learned how to do mortgage. Then I learned how to become a businesswoman. So God gave me so much strength. And even right now, I work like a lot of hours and full-time to my job and my house and take care of my kid. And then I also have part-time for extra money. And then I serve God. But God gave me the strength. Then I sleep less, but I still have like a lot of energy. I read Bible. I take the bus in the I get up really like 5:30 in the morning. I go to the bus. I just read my Bible. And every day I read, and then God just keeps pouring me to me then I just love him. I just love him because I cannot live without him. I think the Holy Spirit is so great. Every time I go out, I just cannot wait to tell people, God is so great and God is so awesome. And he is just like, you cannot walk with your strength. It's all him. And I think today, whatever, I just thank God for Pastor Lau and Pastor Da. And I think this church is the great church. And I just like cannot wait. Every time I go out, I keep telling people, this is a great church. You should come. You should experience. I think that eventually those people will come because God will call them. Because if we trust in him, God will do all the work, not by us, but by God's mighty. So amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God has changed me a lot.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. The Bible talks about the presence of God and the blessing. David would not move the ark of the Lord, meaning the glory of God, with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord, meaning the presence of God or the glory of God, remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. If we are not ashamed of the glory of God, and we welcome him all the time, live in the glory, the Lord will bless us. Amen. What I'm sharing today, what Pastor Da sharing and Jenny was sharing, is really real. And I cannot keep this with myself. I want you to understand my heart. And I want all of you to live in the glory like us. And really press into the glory of God more and more. Take this issue seriously. This is something that the Bible prophesies about the end time church. And I believe that, like, you remember when Martin Luther tried to bring salvation by faith back to the church. So many misunderstandings. And he looked weird in the eyes of society. I believe that we are doing what are we doing here. It's going to be a normal thing in a few years before Jesus come back. Because God said the glory of the end time church is going to be greater. I believe that the church of the end time that welcome Jesus back without blemish, without wrinkle, without stain, will be the church that welcome the glory of God, like our church. We're going to be the norm in the future, maybe next generation. Right now, we look weird, but this is normal in the eyes of heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yukano is going home. And I want you to bring the glory of God to Okinawa. God can use a woman if you determine to be used of God. I believe that Japanese need the glory of God. So many Japanese are in depression, are in bondage, materialism. They need the glory. No human can set them free. Only the Holy Spirit can set them free. And I believe that God put you here in Seattle for a purpose, that you're going to bring the glory of God back to your hometown. But the key is that you don't give up. You don't go there and then just back off and just go back to your old life. You need to keep pressing in, seeking the glory of God, and be the vessel that God will use you. Believe God that God can use you to pass on the fire of God to the next generation. If you set up a meeting in your home, people come in, lay hand on them. Believe that God is going to move in that meeting because you already have the seed of the fire of God in you. But you need to have boldness, and you need to say, I like what Pastor Rodney say, nothing less, nothing more, the fire of God. You need to live like that. Nothing less, nothing more, the fire of God. That's what I do. When I go to Thailand, nothing less, nothing more. Actually, the first message I preached when I started the church over there 2 years ago, I preached about the fire of God. And now the whole church is full of the fire. People come in, get saved. Last Sunday, many people get saved. One of the pastors went to the military base where a lot of people who got drugged, they have tattoo all over the body, and people shoot drug. So many people addicted to drug in Thailand to the point that the government cannot contain this prisoner anymore. So they have to push all these prisoners into the military base because they could not handle all these young people who got drug addiction. So our pastor got invited by the government to preach over there. He preached under the anointing. People get saved, come out. Demon come out of them. He didn't even lay hand. People fall under the power in the military base. Amen. And this pastor doesn't look very charismatic at all. He looked very gentle and very calm. But when he begin to claim the name of the Lord Jesus, the fire of God just moved in that meeting. I could not wait to go to that military base to see what happened in there. God can use simple people.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.